I think humanity would need a new brand, to be honest. I think we're in a really shitty place.
Hi, and welcome to Brand Matters Podcast. Here we discuss with our guest how to create strong and meaningful brands. Today, I'm honored to have with me Måns Hosk, co-founder of Kurpa Hosk and partner at Arc Arise Consulting Group. I've had a great pleasure to work together with Måns on rebranding Swedish telecom brand Tele2. And today I'm really happy to have Måns with me on my podcast. Thank you for coming.
Thanks, Richard.
My first question actually is about Sweden. How come Sweden has so many great designers?
That's actually a really good question. I think Sweden in general has a rich history of design, I would say, both in terms of furniture design, graphic design, and now also, of course, bringing that kind of knowledge and the legacy into the digital space. I'm not really sure where it comes from originally, but I would assume it's a country rich of nature. I think that's might be part of it, the rich cultural heritage. So that might be some ingredients to why we're really strong in design. And of course, now design has become the word not only of the day, but the word of the decade in terms of bringing more value into business.
And Kurpa Hosk is recognized as one of the best brand design agencies globally. What's the reason behind its success?
To start with, I've had the great fortune of working with Thomas Kurpa, my co-founding partner, who's an amazing designer. We've always been a creativity first company. We've always been heavily focused on our design products. And I've had a great fortune again of having a very good product to sell, which would be Thomas and his amazing talent. And we've built in our culture and our entire team and organization around the notion of bringing that great product to the world. And I think, in all honesty, to be fair, we've surfed the wave of this design trend and also this with our Scandinavian heritage. We've been fortunate enough to be at the right point in time with kind of the right product and the right people. But at the end of the day, it comes down to hard work. We're super focused on doing the best we can to bring a good product, in this case, design, to the world.
You mentioned culture, and recently you sold Kurpa Hosk to Arc Arise Consulting Group. How do you make sure that the culture that you and Thomas nurture in Kurpa Hosk is not being diluted in the new big organization?
So what we actually did, we did sell Kurpa Hosk, but we were also as part of founding Arc as a group of companies. So it's a group of both consultants and companies and agencies. So we've very much been part of actually defining kind of the new culture within ARCS. We're five founding companies, and we all brought our own kind of cultures into this mix of people. We've definitely managed to preserve the best of our culture, but we have also actually had the great fortune. We're working now with management consultants and creative agencies. We've actually learned a lot from them also in terms of the parts of culture that don't necessarily has been beneficial for us. Such as, for instance, we're talking about hard work, and in our case, we call it grit. But that grit, of course, sometimes tended to exaggerate in many cases, to leading us into very poor work-life balance, a lot of burnout, and so forth. So thanks to our new colleagues, I would say that we kept the best parts of our grit culture and our very creativity-centered culture, but also actually managing to get rid of the things that haven't been great through the years.
You mentioned nature as one of the parts source of the creativity for the Sweden and Swedish designers as one of the element. What other things or attributes or places or people get inspiration from?
Of course, that comes down to each individual. I think in the case for myself, not being a designer, I should say I have a background as a copywriter, heading more into strategy work and generally entrepreneurship. But for me, it's a lot about finding inspiration actually in nature, but also from culture at large. And being a writer by heart, I find a lot of inspiration in reading and trying to be as broad as possible in my reading, both fact and fiction. As for designers, looking at Thomas, for instance, he's the kind of designer that really digs deep into the history of design, looking to all the heroes from the, back in the 60s, 50s to the 60s, to the modernists, the great modernists, and so forth. But he has a quite unique ability to absorb pretty much everything, I would say, and absorb inspiration from pretty much everywhere.
And then out comes this beautiful design. And I think actually he managed to implement that approach or philosophy to our entire studio, which now consists of, I think, 40 or 50 designers. As for many creatives, you find your inspiration in day-to-day life, but in culture, in nature, traveling, of course. I think one of the great fortunes of being Swedish, we have a fairly good reputation around the world. So, you know, welcome to many places. We've been working internationally already from the get-go. And I think we bring a lot of inspiration from other places in the world, other markets, other cultures, for sure.
Let's talk about a little bit the process. The brand design is a complex process. What do you think is the most important elements of this process? And maybe you have your unique recipe, how to cook the brand design.
Our secret sauce has always been a combination of Thomas's amazing talent in terms of creativity and design, and my focus on strategy and commercials, basically. So I think that's always been the recipe for us. So talking about brand in general, it's not only about creativity, but rather also to make brands relevant. So to make brands relevant for our client, we need to be fact-based and data-driven on one hand, but of course, very active on the other hand. So our recipe, we named that quite early on in our, named it this artistry quite early on in our journey. So what we try to do is always keep those two concepts in mind, the fact-based, data-driven, and of course, the humanistic, the intuitive, the creativity. That sits at the heart of everything we do. So we try to combine this and artists with everything we do. And that's pretty much also actually how we're organized. And in the kind of the intersection between those concepts or notions comes brand, I would say. So every brand needs to be, you know, considered from this very commercial perspective or data-driven perspective, but also from a creative perspective. So that's our recipe, really, how we think and how we actually operate as well.
I love this combination of left and the right part of the brain and building the bridge in order to build a successful brands.
And I think in kind of the power of that duality, you can see that in, I would say, most good or even great companies or wherever you look in the world, there's always seems to be a combination of left and right or yin and yang or what have you. And I think that that's represented through our methodology and philosophy as well.
Great. Let's talk a little bit about the data. And of course, not just data, but the data analytics and AI. How does it impact your approach to brand design and strategy?
We're not really sure yet. We can, of course, see the proliferation of data, but also AI. So we're in the midst of trying to understand, actually getting our heads around how to deal with AI, both on the negative side, but also on the sunny side. Of course, it's on one hand a threat, definitely. In terms of, and needless to say, everybody that have experimented just a bit with AI knows that you can prompt their AI to get 1,000 logos or 1,000 images. So that's, of course, a threat, but you could, of course, also consider it a great opportunity using it as a tool, as we already do, to get some inspiration ourselves. But I think the role we need to play, could perhaps score, I guess, any brand agency, is still to become the tastemaker. So, it's very hard for AI, as far as I understand it. I'm not an expert by all means, but to really understand what great looks like. And you still need to prompt the AI with the right notion of what the brand should be about. So maybe it's going to become even more important with brand in a data and AI-driven world. Who decides what great looks like, how you prompt the AI, so it really kind of encapsulates the notion of what the brand is going to stand for. And it might even be that we're going to see new rock star within the AI space, the true tastemakers of what comes out, the output from AI. You know, just considering how it works in the art industry, art becomes art because Woody or Andy Warhol signed the painting. That's what great looks like, according to Andy Warhol. And he himself had the brand to decide what was bad and good art, or with any great painter or artist. So it's really hard to say how it's going to play out, but we're trying to get our heads around the role we're going to play, both in terms of how to use AI and the threats we need to mitigate, of course.
Yeah, I love this idea and concept that actually the beginning point and the end point of any design or brand is actually human, because you need to prompt the AI and then you need to judge and select or evaluate or elaborate the things that AI works. So hopefully the sunny side, that's going to be just the tool in the hands of talented artists, and then it will enable a more interesting, more creative, or easier ways to do more experiential.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah. And we've seen that since the beginning of the industrial age. We need tools to become more efficient, to do things, and automation and what have you. So I think I'm not in the corner of AI is not going to change things. Humans are still going to be most important. I'm not in that corner of the conversation, but I'm rather in the corner where I think we can benefit from it, even as designers.
Let's talk about a little bit measurement and success. How do you guys measure the success of branding, either campaign or strategy?
But when it comes to branding, it's sometimes, in all honesty, it's quite hard to look at hard numbers short term. It's usually quite a long process. If you want to brand, for definition, it's of course the perception of an organization or a company or product or service. But changing perception takes time. So of course you can track over time how you manage to change perception of, let's say, a company. So what we try to do is to get our heads around the current state, of course, of how a brand is perceived, and then over time track it. So that's one parameter in terms of gauging or measuring what success looks like in terms of brand. But of course, even more important often is how it affects, you know, in the internal culture, the pride you feel about a brand in an organization, and how it could drive change from the inside. So I think that the quality of brand in general is to articulate an ambition or an aspiration for an organization or a company or product or service for that matter. And of course, you can measure that in terms of, you know, cultural change or EMPS. So that would be another way of looking at brand. At the end of the day, a company or your management team or CEO invests in brand to benefit from it from a monetary perspective. And over time, you can see on a big amount of data that companies that have invested in brand, often, or design for that matter, often become more successful. There are a couple of certain indexes that indicate that is true. But it's quite hard, as opposed to advertising, where you might even see short-term gains or benefits in terms of sales and other KPIs, that it really works. That's unfortunately not the thing with brand. So that also entails that we want to really work with organizations and companies and CEOs and C-suite representatives that really believe in brand. It's very hard working with clients that don't really know, believe that brand is a key asset in terms of making business.
You've done a lot of work for a lot of different brands, but if you are to choose right now to redesign one major global brand, which one would it be and why?
It's a good question. I think humanity would need a new brand, to be honest. I think we're in a really shitty place. Just imagine if a space alien came to Earth. Maybe they already done it, who knows. But if they came to Earth and what mess we have made in terms of war, climate change, and all the bad things that are around, I think maybe we don't even need a brand to start. We need a better product. But it would be super interesting to brand humanity if this planet someday will make an impact in the universe. If it happens, we have friends out there. We need a better brand, I think. We're a crappy brand right now.
Yeah, well, maybe a crappy product. Yeah, I think I agree. We pretty much fucked up product, of being humans. Or yeah, I think we a little bit failing the mission, which we might have before.
I totally agree.
That's a very good point, actually. Humanity as a, never thought about humanity as a brand. Yeah, that's a good thought. I will kind of sleep on it.
Yeah.
Cool. Let's talk about you, Mons, personally. Tell me about a time, and I'm sure you had this time, when you thought, okay, that's it, I'm done, I want to become a farmer. And what did you do to not to become a farmer, but actually continue going?
It's another really good question. Of course, I've had my ups and downs for sure through these years. Where I really needed to consider if I did the right priorities in terms of work-life balance. I have a family that I love very deeply, a wife and two sons, and even a dog by now. So, of course, there's been moments where I really needed to consider whether it was worth it or not. But to start with, I really need to give my wife, she's been amazing all through this journey. with great tolerance, and she's part of the success me and Thomas had with Kurpohoski, and same thing with Thomas' wife. But I think what has always kept me up is how meaningful it has felt with Kurpohoski, actually, what we built, and now feeling great meaning in being part of ARC, and I'm working mainly actually now operationally with ARC and keep building this this group of companies. But I've also, later years, since 3 or 4 or 5 years back, when I haven't been as operational as CEO for Kurpohoski, I spent more and more time, we have a house up north in Sweden, so I've done kind of that farmer thing. I've taken the time needed, the time I need to kind of decompress by being out in the woods of this great landscape where we have our house and being in the mountains. I do a lot of running. So I managed to get that soul space, and that together with my family has been crucial for me to find new meaning just myself from Kurpohoski when needed. But I never really, to be honest, I've never really considered quitting. I think it's been deeply meaningful, the impact we have on our clients, the amazing team we've had, and hopefully it's in some cases some positive impact on the world. But of course, I've had my moments. But then I take a run. I take a long run, and then I'm back.
So nature, family, and run not only give you inspiration, but also heals your wounds.
Yeah, and some fair chunk of meditation. So I've done what I can, actually, to try to live a balanced life.
If you go back in time and give your younger self one piece of advice, what would it be?
It's such a cliche, but I think Joseph Campbell said, follow your bliss. Just follow your bliss, basically. It's that simple, I think. I think, even though life takes its turns, it's been that way for me and every other person in the world, I guess. If you stick to that bliss, you tend to get back on the right way, on the right path in life. Getting back to this data-driven society, everything is measurable, everything is fact-based if you want, but still, if you follow that bliss, i.e. your heart, it's still more powerful any day of the week, I think, than to try to analyze your way through life.
Love that. What's the most surprising thing you've learned about yourself through running Kurpohoski?
Thought you should say running in general, what I've learned through running.
Well, we can rephrase that. What things you learned about yourself while running? There's actually a great book. You read it, Haruki Murakami. It's the book that is called What I Think When I Go Running. And this is a very kind of inspiring.
Exactly. I read it. It's really good. And it's very true. But to some extent, I guess running Kurpohoski and running is quite similar. It's been a marathon. It's been a cup, not one marathon race. It's been 1,000 marathon races. Running Kurpohoski. And that's actually the point, because what I meant about myself, I think, is that consistency and grit, that grit basically is just attainable for everybody. I think I never thought I had that in me. When I went to school, I was quite scattered. I was everywhere and nowhere at the same time. I had a hard time focused. I did fairly well, but I never had that focus. But when I starting Kurpohoski with Thomas, I really understood that I had the focus and grit and perseverance needed to really achieve my goals. And it's pretty much the same thing with long distance running. What I've learned about myself is that I had that capacity to really prevail and to do things long term. And I think we all have that. If we find, again, if we follow our bliss, if we find that sole purpose that makes us tick.
Love that. And actually, my final question to you, what advice would you give to upcoming designers or young agencies aiming to make their mark in the branding industry?
It's super hard, but super easy at the same time. You need to work hard. You need to be super consistent in what you do. You need to have a strong idea about who you want to be in the world, I think, as a person and as an agency. And again, let your kind of inner voice guide you in that. And if you stay true to that and work really hard, you're going to get there. I stay out of trends. I think, one of the great benefits with Thomas as a person, he stayed true to his belief in what good design looks like, what good design is. And there's many different voices for sure in the design landscape, but find your own voice and stay true to it and be persistent. But also, of course, you need to have the willingness and change when the landscape change, of course.
Mons, Thank you so much for your time. Thank you for this inspirations. And it's been really great to have you as a guest. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, sir. And really good to talk to you again. It's been a while. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Mans.
Thank you for joining me in this episode. I'm Misha Che. And if you'd like to know more about how to build strong and meaningful brands from professionals from different countries, please subscribe to this podcast and leave your rating. This will help me to keep running this show.